just in case I have a hard time getting your attention here for the whole time, I thought I would do an acrostic today so that I'll keep you looking forward here. And I'm going to do something a little bit different today. If you've gone to church for 50 years, you've probably heard 50 years of Mother's Day sermons. So I thought I'd do something different today. I'm going to preach on grandmothers. And because we've got a lot of grandmothers here, and hopefully every mother will become a grandmother. Amen? Absolutely. Okay, so, and I know that some of you are going to have a hard time. You're just going to have to sort of hear what I'm saying if you can't read it from there. I'm doing an acrostic for the whole word grandmother. When I told my son, he called last night and said, "What are you preaching on?" I said, "Well, grandmother, I'm going to do an acrostic." He said, "On all the letters?" He said, "That's going to be a long sermon." I said, "Yep." So, you don't have roast burning in the oven anyway. You're going to a restaurant anyway. So, you know, you can afford a little overtime. No. A little girl asked to define what a grandma is, responded by saying, "Grandma is something that a mom becomes when she grows up." A little boy asked his grandmother what year she was born. She told him she was born in 1935. "Wow," exclaimed the boy. "If you were a baseball card, you'd be worth a lot of money." The young girl asked her grandma how old she was. And she said, "Well, 39 and holding." He was thinking for a while. He said, "Well, how old would you be if you let go?" Grandmothers are changing. The image that I have of my grandmother Hebert, and the image of my wife who is a grandma, is very, very different. It can be summarized this way. In the dim and distant past, when life's tempo wasn't fast, grandma used to rock and knit, crochet, snooze, and babysit. Grandma now's at the gym, exercising to keep slim. Now she's golfing with a bunch, taking clients out to lunch. She's going north to ski and curl, and all her days are in a whirl. Nothing seems to stop or block her now that grandma's off her rocker. That's modern-day grandmas, I'll tell you. Things have changed. 72% of grandmas think that being a grandma is the single most important and satisfying thing in their life. 63% said that they can do a better job caring for their grandchildren than they can for their own. 90% enjoyed talking about their grandkids to everyone else. Surprise, it's not 100. 43% of adults become grandparents in their 50s. 37% become grandparents in their 40s. And the average age of becoming a grandparent in Canada is 48. Grandparents control 75% of the country's wealth. Look at all the money they have saved up over the years. Now you have all that money sitting out there. The country's wealth. Some of you are saying, "Where's mine?" I love this statistic, and you can probably identify with it. 42% of all consumer spending on gifts is by grandparents. Who do you find in Toys R Us? Grandmas and grandpas buying Christmas or birthday gifts and whatever for their grandchildren, right? 81% of grandparents will have their grandkids for part or all of their summer vacation. 81%. One in 14 children live in a home headed by a grandparent. 7% of children live in homes where the grandparent are the parents. There are two types of homes run by grandparents. They're what they call three generational households, where you have grandparents, the adult married kids and grandkids, and they're all together because of financial difficulties or there was a divorce or something happened, and so, you know, they moved back home. Or there's what they call the skipped generation households. That's the custodial grandparent households. And in the States, I couldn't get Canadian figures, but in the States alone, there are a million children raised only by grandparents. There is no biological parent involved in their lives. And so this is just reality. This is how life is. And so we face it, we accept it, we live with it, and we pray about it. And there's things that, you know, as churches, we just really need to be considerate of when we minister to a community. This is reality. We read from the book of Ruth, and there's a reason why we read from the book of Ruth. Naomi was in dire straits. Her and her husband lived in Bethlehem. There was a famine. They decided to go to Moab, and Moab was about 30 miles away from Bethlehem. It was across the Dead Sea on the other side, east of Israel. Up higher in a plateau, that's where the Moabites lived. That was about 30 miles away. But the Moabites were enemies of Israel. In fact, they had a curse on them because years ago they'd done something to Israel, and God said, because of that, no Moabite can ever come and worship God in the assembly with his people. And so the two had nothing to do with each other. But because of the famine, Elimelech, who was an outstanding, according to Jewish literature, an outstanding leader in his area, took his wife, Naomi, and they went to Moab because at least there they wouldn't go hungry. Now picture, supposedly a godly couple going to a pagan country, away from the people of God, out all on their own with her two boys. Well, you can guess what happened. Their boys married Moabite women. While out there, Naomi's husband dies. And her two sons die. Now she is in a foreign country, in a pagan country, with two pagan granddaughters. She hears word Israel's doing better. There's food in the country again. She wants to go back. But now she has these two pagan daughters-in-law. She has these two pagan daughters-in-law. They want to come with her. She convinced one to stay. She says, you just go back to your gods. I'm not sure why she would have said that, but she said, you just stay here, go back to your gods. But the other one, Ruth, clung on to Naomi and said, I am going with you. And she professed her faith, and she says, your God will become my God. I think at that moment, she became a Hebrew in the heart. She became a Jew in the heart. She professed her faith in the one true God. And so, she goes back, and with her daughter-in-law. She gets home and everybody goes, oh, Naomi's back. She says, don't call me Naomi, which means sweet and pleasant. She says, call me Mara, which means bitter. She says, I am coming back totally empty. We've lost all our men. I've just gone through grief. And I have nothing to be happy about. Well, make a long story short. One of her relatives, actually a relative of her husband, deceased husband, marries her daughter-in-law, Ruth. The two have a child together. So in Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, we read this. So Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, and he went to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, she gave birth to a son. Now here's where the story gets interesting. This is the point. Because the book of Ruth is not just about Ruth, it's actually about Naomi. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. Now may he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life, sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. And then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. And the women living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. What brought Naomi back to life? That she's back in Israel? That she's got food? That she found a new husband? That her daughter-in-law is remarried? What brought her life? This grandchild. When she became a grandma, She came to life and took this little grandchild and placed her on her lap. That is the Hebrew way of saying she adopted him. She took him as her own. And that's why it says, and the... Then the women living there said, Naomi has a what? A son. Now, technically, it's her grandson. But when that grandchild came, that grandchild meant everything to her. And she came back to life, who sustained her and refreshed her into her old age. All by becoming a grandma. Suddenly, life took on meaning and fullness again. And it's amazing what happens to you when you become a grandparent. There's a new burst of life that comes as new life and a new generation comes from your offspring. And wow, it's absolutely fascinating. So if you haven't become a grandpa yet, I suggest you become one. Okay, I'll let you deal with the facts there. But as we look about what we think when we think about our grandmother, the first thing that came to my mind is that grandmother is really Grand Central Station. When you're a kid, there's nothing like going to grandma's house. And I remember as a little kid, when we went to grandma's house, for me that meant there's going to be 500 cousins there. You have to realize what kind of a background I come from. Okay? Our Mennonite background, there's lots of cousins. And so Sunday afternoon, I could hardly wait to go to grandma's house, not to see grandma, but I knew all the other cousins would be there too, because they'd say the same thing. Let's go to grandma's house. They're expecting all their cousins there. And of course, all of my aunts and uncles, they would come home to their mom's place. And we all came there. Sunday afternoon, we'd go there and there'd be 500 cousins playing baseball out on the field and eating grandma's chocolate cake. Well, there's nothing like grandma's place being a Grand Central Station. That's where you go when you think of Christmas, Thanksgiving, you think of special occasions. Where does the family tend to gravitate to? Grandma's house. Looking back, something came to my mind. I remember my dad saying to me a few times, you want to go for a drive and see Grandpa's farm? Sure. So we hop in a car and we go see Grandpa's farm. It wasn't Grandma's farm, it's Grandpa's farm. But if you want to go to the house, do you want to go to Grandma's house? There's something about the home where the grandma is the nerve center of the whole family tree. You're not going to Grandpa's house. It was always, let's go to Grandma's house. And so there's nothing like having a Grand Central Station where everybody goes to. And the next one is, when you think of a grandma, grandma is a refuge. Grandma is a safe person. Do you know that 1/3 of all child abuse cases, the child is taken out of a home where there's been abuse or neglect? Where's the first place they usually go to? Where's this little child taken to? Is there a grandparent available? That's the first place they usually will go to. And the average stay of the initial custody is 1 year. So grandparents have a huge role in the lives of hurting kids. Very, very important in the lives of children is to have a grandparent, particularly a grandma. Now, shortly after I arrived here, almost 3 years ago, I went out with the youth on a Friday night. We did a bigger and better thing. And I was assigned 4 kids. And so here are 4 strange kids. I have never met them. I'm new here. And they weren't even from our church. They were just community kids that were at youth. So we're walking and doing bigger and better. And so as we're walking, I'm asking questions. So, you know, what's your name? Where do you live? And to my amazement, 2 out of the 4 kids lived with a grandparent. 2 out of the 4. lived with a grandparent because they couldn't get along with their mom or their dad, or there was issues there. So grandma is a refuge for hurting people, particularly grandparents. There's another reason why grandma's a refuge. Because parents take the responsibility for disciplining, and grandparents are just supposed to love. Now, this may be a reflection of the kind of dad I was, but I've been given orders by my married kids not to discipline their kids. Okay? You can read it. That doesn't work. But I could be a little strict. I could come on a little strong. And so when they drop off their kids or we go there and we babysit, they just say, now, if there's any discipline to be done, you wait till we're back. Okay? So we let them misbehave. We just love them. We do whatever. And we're not allowed to discipline. Okay? But think about it for a moment. It's the role of parents to train and discipline them. And grandparents are more just, they're the ones that just cover all their sins. They just love them and just can accept them unconditionally. That's part of our job, just to be safe. And that's okay. I'm actually really loving that stage. Believe me, I absolutely love it. It's great, just being in a place where you are that. That brings me to the third part, and that is, and it's very, very close to what I am talking about with a refuge, but the A is for affirming. Along piggybacking on being a refuge, parents struggled with their child's behavior, usually through negative reinforcement, not positive. Don't go on the couch without orange juice. Stop hitting your brother on the head. Don't do this. A lot of reinforcement in the home is don't. Don't. When you come to grandma's house, there's not a lot of don'ts. It's like, oh honey, maybe we should just go over here and do it. But you don't use the word don't like they do in the home. So in their real home, their behavior is usually enforced by negative reinforcement. When they come to the grandparents' home, it's positive reinforcement. Well, honey, I'm sure you didn't mean to do it that way. And you just come across in a completely positive way. You see, parents communicate expectation. Grandparents communicate affirmation. That's the difference. That's why kids need grandparents. They need them just to affirm them, build them up, and love them. Also, isn't it amazing how cute their artwork is? The first few times when our granddaughters first scribbled something and my wife oohed and awed, and oh, you're this, you know, this is the best artwork ever. I'll put that on. Grandma's going to put that on her fridge. And as she put it on, I asked her to take it off. I said, it's so ugly. Like, she says, art. It's your grandchildren's artwork. It's beautiful. Oh, that's right, I forgot. It's our grandchildren's artwork. See, grandchildren can't do anything wrong. They're just so cute. They're so perfect. They're so smart. Everything. That's what grandmas do. And grandkids, swallow it up. Swallow it up. That's what makes them grandparents. Right? Leave it up to grandmas also then to nurture. So the N in grandmother for nurture. Grandpas are more advisors. Grandmas are the sympathizers. I find my wife being much more gracious with her grandchildren than I am. I still come across as a semi-dad. And my wife just nurtures them. A teacher wrote, Teaching creative writing to an elementary school class, I closed with a question about grandparenting. I asked, "How do you know your grandmother loves you?" The boy raised his hand with enthusiasm. When I called on him, he said, quote, "I know my grandma loves me because when I look in her eyes, I can see all the way into her heart." Isn't that awesome? And doesn't that just make you feel good like a grandma? Someone has said that living is 90% mental, 10% physical, 100% caring. That's why we have grandmas. That's what grandmas do. And grandmas are also very good sounding boards. And Dale Evans Rogers wrote about her 16 grandchildren. And here's her advice. If you want to establish a warm bond with your grandchildren, get rid of the parents. That is, be alone with your grandchildren. It will be a time of learning and growth and renewal for both generations. You know what? That's so true. Boy, did my parents find that out. When our kids were 3, 2, and 1, my wife and I took a 3-week trip to Brazil. That was hard. Because when we came back, our 1-year-old did not know us. He thought Grandpa was his dad. He'd totally forgotten about us at the age of 1. Well, anyway, when I first phoned my dad, I said, "Dad, we're thinking about going to Brazil to visit Rachel's parents, who are missionaries there. Would you consider babysitting your grandkids for 3 weeks? You hardly see them. You live so far away." And I gave him all the reasons why, I thought this would be a good idea for him. And his first response was, "Well, you should have thought of that before you had kids." Whoa. I had to do a lot of sweet talking through grandma to convince them that it was a good thing to give them 3 grandchildren, 3, 2, and 1, for 3 weeks. When they hardly ever knew them or saw them. But when we came back, something changed. And it always stayed that way. My parents hadn't properly bonded with our kids. Because they never saw them. I saw them for a week, a year. But you know what? After that, on the phone, "So, how are my grandkids?" my dad would say. And something changed. Something changed. And you know, it is so good to have that time together with them for nurturing. Well, the D, dependable. When you're in a crunch, who do you call for help? Grandma. If we would go to the Pastors and Wives Conference at Banff, especially when we were living in Lambton, we would call up Rachel's mom and say, "Mom, could you come for 5 days? We're going to a Pastors and Wives retreat, and nobody wants our kids for 4 days. Yep. And she would just hop in the car, drive down, and she would bail us out. We could always depend on it that if we really needed someone, we're in a crunch, Grandma would come from Regina and come down and look after our kids for special occasions. And, you know, it's just so nice to, in the back of your mind, just to know, you know, we know that they are there. Well, something else that our grandmother is, she is a mother. You know those sweet conversations my wife is having with her daughter and daughters-in-law now that there are grandchildren involved? There's a lot more to talk about. She is more of a mother than ever. If you have a hard time getting through to our house on any given morning, I would say she spends roughly an hour and a half on the phone between her daughter and her daughter-in-law in Ontario. Every day. The connection between mom and her adult daughters has just gotten so much deeper that there's grandkids involved. Much more to talk about. Much more to pass on. It's just, it's awesome. It's just awesome. the phone will ring. Mom, my 3-year-old just did such and such and such. Is that normal for a 3-year-old? Well, you know, Rachel's got all the answers now. You know, she's a grandma. And it's just amazing how being a mother is just tightened when she became a grandma. O is for old-fashioned values. Not old. Didn't stay there, okay. Old-fashioned values. I didn't say old. It might only be 48. In a survey of 1,000 people, Parents Magazine reported that 78% expressed a desire to return to traditional values and old-fashioned morality. 78% recognize our society is broken, and if they could turn the clock back, they would turn it back. Who's the one who still represents the old values? Grandma and Grandpa. There's something when they are present, there's that sense of connectedness, that solidness, that rootedness. This is the way it should be. This is what should be believed. This is how we should see things, etc. Grandparents represent commitment, stability, forgiveness, and knowing how to weather the storm. Often grandparents are the blueprint of what life should be like to grandchildren. Another thing that's very important, and of course I'm talking about faith-believing grandmothers. The T, trust in God. It's amazing the influence my mother-in-law has had on our kids spiritually. Absolutely amazing. And our kids have been really impacted when they would hear Grandpa Hildebrand pray. When my dad prayed, the aura in the room just changed right now. And there was just a hush and a reverence. And he had a way of just communicating with God. And our kids often talked about it. They would say, oh, when Grandpa prays, there's just that awesome feeling. And then there's the influence that their grandma has had on their lives. Psalm 71. Since my youth, O God, you've taught me. To this day I declare your marvelous deeds. When I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation and your might to all who are yet to come. Now, I came across a verse. It has never jumped out at me before. It is an awesome verse. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Here's what it says. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Isn't that an awesome verse? The stuff, if you've seen God at work, don't let it slip. Tell it to your kids and your grandkids. As long as you shall live, the Bible says, pass that on. Wow. Our kids have received so much faith from their grandparents. Particularly from their grandma, which is Rachel's mom. Till 2 years ago, she still kept going to Kenya every year. She's 84 now. She quit when she was 82. Going every year to Kenya to do a summer of mission work. And the only reason she isn't going back is because of her macular degeneration. She's now become legally blind. She was still determined to go last year yet. We said, there's no way. You would cross the street. You'd never see cars coming. You'd get killed. We forbade her from going. So she finally listened to us and said, okay, I'll stay. But that was very hard on her. Her heart is in Kenya. She just wants to go back and preach and teach and just evangelize. And it has been such an example to our children. She has so many faith stories. And it has just completely spoken into the lives of our kids. That's the role of Christian grandparents. To speak faith into the lives of our kids. Hear their stories. Here's one of them. They were still living in Regina. And one evening, my mother-in-law went for a run with their dog. And their dog suddenly just crossed in front of her. She tripped and fell on the sidewalk and broke her elbow. Well, that elbow didn't heal properly. She could only go about to here. She could not straighten her arm out at all. It healed like this. And when you're a cook and you're doing all, you know, you can't, you know, always reach out like this. It was just very uncomfortable and very annoying. And one evening, she's in her bathtub relaxing, communing with God. She says, "Father, if it would please you, could you please straighten my arm out?" She said her arm went like this. Right there. And in 10 seconds, she was healed. She has 100% movement. There is nothing wrong with her elbow. God healed her on the spot. She has all kinds of faith stories that God has done for her. It has built faith into our breath. She has more faith stories than I do. She has spoken faith into the lives of our children. That is the role of a Christian grandma and grandpa, is to declare to them the power of God, the works of God. And I trust that all of us as grandparents will be found faithful in that very important role to, as long as we shall live, according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. H, grandmother, for historian. In other words, I might just add in on the side, just call it the word roots. Where does our culture come from? Where did our language come from? How come I used to speak German? Where did that come from? How come I like Schnetje and Porzeltje and all these other German foods we had? Where did it come from? Passed on from my grandma, and on and on and on. All our culture, our language, our ethnic foods, our traditions, everything is passed down through from our grandparents and further back. Our grandparents are our roots to our past. They connect us with where we came from. They're ones to tell us what God has done in the past to bring us to this point. It was somewhere in the late 90s. My wife and I decided we would buy each of the grandparents a memory book. We asked them to write down their faith stories, things that happened in their past, in their earlier lives, throughout their lives. Write it down so it's something we can hand to our kids. And they will remember, they would read about their history. And unfortunately, they didn't take it seriously. They never did. And with my dad gone, all his stories are gone. And I don't remember a lot of them, and my kids remember very little after that. And the next generation, there will be no memory of my dad at all. No sense of history, no sense of roots. It's all gone. I think we have a responsibility to pass our roots on to our children. Not just our ethnic roots, but our faith roots, our walk, the walk of God. Rachel comes from a tremendous line of spiritual heritage. Our son, Rusty, is the fifth generation pastor through that line. Going way back in her family tree, they were pastors. Tremendous history as we pass it on. Here's some of the things we have learned. Here's where they ministered. Here's what God did. Tremendous values, life lessons to be learned as we realize that. Well, and here everyone can identify. Grandma is an entertainer. It's amazing how your second childhood comes back and you get flexible, rolling on the floor, doing all kinds of things with your grandkids all over again. You thought you had seized up by now. And then grandkids come along and all of a sudden, there you go. You know, when we go to Medicine Hat, to our daughter's house, who has three little boys, the moment the door opens, all the little boys run right up and they go. And within seconds, we're in the living room floor and we're wrestling and we're showing off our muscles. And I'm getting more flexible again. I'll tell you, this is wonderful. And grandma's out there too. And my wife especially loves water fights. Oh my goodness. She loves water fights. She's always throwing water, always getting into trouble with water. I understand even in Ethiopia, she went to the boy we've adopted and we're sponsoring. She brought him a water gun. And I heard via the grapevine there that she got to a huge water fight with a saga there. And the mother of the boy was horrified. This older white lady having a water fight with her boy. And all of a sudden she realized, oh, I guess it's okay. You know, like they just didn't realize that grandmas can do that. Grandmas can have fun. Amen. We are entertainers. And how often, grandmas, have you had this response? You see your grandchild, what's the first thing they asked? Grandma, what did you bring me? Grandma, what's in your purse? So we had to teach our kids, because that always happened. When grandma came home, Rachel's mom came home, and our kids were always, what did you bring us? So we had to teach them, okay, hugs and kisses before you ask, what did you bring us? Okay? It's grandma we value, not just the gifts. But grandmas are great entertainers. Great entertainers. And lastly, and most important as well, role model. Grandparents, grandmas, can be models of Christ's likeness. Models of the grace of God. Models of what a dedicated heart looks like. Models of the goodness of God. Demographers have identified a new life stage for some of us who are approaching that age. It's called the third age. The third age. You've got your growing up time, you've got your work time, and then you have your retirement time. Well, now as you get to retirement time, they say, well, there's an age from retirement to when you get old. Whatever that is. So from 60 or 65 to 80, 90, whatever, before you consider yourself old. It's called the third age. And they say there's a nickname for it. They call it my time. See, all your life, you worked to supply for your wife, your family, your kids, to prepare for retirement. You get there, and people say, okay, now it's my time. Now it's time to go south. Now it's time to go north. Now it's time to go overseas on tours. Now it's time to cruise. Like, you know, the poem about the grandma? Yeah. It's my time. I understand that. I'm looking forward to a little bit of that as well. But as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? As Christians, we should give it another time, another name. Not my time, but prime time. What a prime time to give to God. I have quite a few relatives on my wife's side who, after retirement, have spent years doing mission work all over. She comes from a very missions-oriented family. They spent years spending summers or part of winter somewhere near doing mission work. What a wonderful way to give yourself to God. What a wonderful example to all the grandkids to see, you know what? Rather than they're just thinking about themselves, they're still thinking about others and out serving others, giving of themselves. What a role model. I'll never forget, my oldest son was, 12, 13 at the time. And he's been so impacted by his grandma. And one day he looked at my wife and he said, Mom, would it bother you if I told you that my grandma is my role model? Well, what do you say? Of course it doesn't bother. No. We're thrilled that your grandma is your role model. And of course, as parents, you always want to think, well, yeah, they, hopefully they'll want to be just like us. No. His heart's cry was, I want to be like my grandma. What a role model. What kind of a role model are we to our kids, our grandkids? May we reveal to them the faithfulness of God. Let's stand in a word of closing prayer together. And after that, we're going to sing a closing hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So let's stand in prayer together. Father, we can identify with Naomi. You blessed her with a grandchild, and suddenly she felt sustained and refreshed to old age. We're grateful for the experience we've had having grandparents. And those of us who have become grandparents, thank you for that privilege. But Lord, what a stewardship. In our time, in our prayers, Lord, make it prime time. As we pour into these precious lives, the deeds and the power of God. I pray your continued blessing in all of us this day as we celebrate Mother's Day and also as we celebrate our grandmothers. Thank you for your graciousness, Lord, in giving us this day to be reminded what a privilege it is. Lord, we just bless you for your goodness. Thank you for your care for us. Continue to watch over us. Make it a good day. Cause all of us to be a blessing to others. God, as we go back into this week, may we be that role model of Christ to all. In Jesus' name we pray.
So look under your chairs for a light-covered blue hymnal. Great is Thy Faithfulness is number 43, and we will sing verse 1 and 2. Okay?
So.